using a relationship to mask the fact that, you know, I wasn't really truly happy or in love with myself. Mm-hmm. And I really had to learn through that lived experience that you honestly, like, we hear it all the time, you can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. But until you actually live it and experience it, do you actually get it? And so I got it.
Hey, what's up, Grill fam? Welcome to Dear Culture, the podcast that gives you news you can trust for the culture. I'm your co-host, Shauna Pinnock, social media director here at The Grill.
And I'm your co-host, Jaron Keith Gaynor, managing editor at The Grill. And this week we're asking, Dear Culture, what are you most looking forward to in 2021?
But before we even get into the show, Jaron, we are here, 2021. Welcome to it. Woo! After a really terrible year. So how was your Christmas? How was your New Year's? You know, I tried to leave you alone as much as possible, Jaron, so that you can enjoy. But how did you enjoy your time off?
Well, first off, I missed you. It was kind of weird not doing Dear Culture for 2 weeks. But I have an update because I know in the last episode when we talked about Christmas, I said I was going to stay home and I wasn't going to be with family. Part of that was true. I wasn't with family, but a Morehouse brother of mine, shout out to Eric, he invited me to his home. Him and his partner invited me over and we had a very beautiful Christmas. He cooked like this, a really amazing brunch. If you know anything about Morehouse men, we are kind of over the top sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And, yes. I was filming. I know. I'm very aware.
But it was a good over the top. And we watched Bridgerton on Netflix. And I binge watched that and watched that in probably in 24 hours. I kind of feel guilty about that. But Christmas was great. And New Year's Eve, I decided to stay home. And I wanted to really take that time to be with myself. I think how you start your year, at least for me symbolically, is really important. And I wanted to take it in alone and doing what I love most, which is meditation. Mm-hmm. And so the last, you know, few minutes of 2020, I got my yoga mat out and I got my crystals. I love like healing crystals. And I aligned my chakras and I played my meditation music. And I prayed and I meditated. I did a little yoga before that too. And I kind of went to sleep actually. I fell asleep and then I woke up at 12:30. I was like, oh, here we are, 2021. And then I called everyone and texted everyone Happy New Year's. How about you?
Let's see, Christmas. So I was very, you know, when I set my work-life balance boundaries and I'm like, don't talk to me. You know how I'm very serious about that because as a social media director, social never sleeps. So even though I was off, I really kind of wasn't off, but I was like, for Christmas, oh no, we're being very serious and very intentional about that. Don't talk to me, leave me alone. And so that was really dope to just, honestly, I just spent it with my mom and my dad. We banned my brother and his kids from coming. I'll tell you why, because these people are crazy. So my oldest nephew lives in Florida right now and was taking a plane from Florida to New York. And then my brother was going to come from Rhode Island to New York to come pick him up and, you know, let them have their Christmas celebration. My nephew refused to take a COVID test. So with that said, I said, you know, I love you. Merry Christmas. Here's some Cash App money, but stay away from me and mine. Me and your grandmother and grandfather will be over here. Like, no, wasn't playing those games. I haven't even watched Bridgerton yet. I'm kind of disappointed in myself, but I need to catch up with that. And for New Year's, wow, New Year's Day was such a lazy day for me, or rather New Year's Eve was such a lazy day for me, where at around 3 p.m. is when I realized, oh, I should probably clean my house and prepare my collard greens and black eyed peas for tomorrow. Like,
oh, you wanted that.
Listen, I have my rituals. And you guys that are listening, I'm Grio fam, you're going to get into it because, you know, this is going to be a very, I like to call it like, you know, like a ya-ya type of episode. So I have like an entire cleaning regimen for New Year's Eve where I'm doing things like I'm, you know, pouring basil and baking soda and salt, you know, sea salt into a bowl and stirring it three times and spreading that across my carpets. And I'm spraying my baseboards with like things that are supposed to help, like Murphy's oil soap that's supposed to help, you know, bring in like prosperity for the new year, and, you know, burning sage and stuff all around that time. It's a whole thing. It's very extensive. Everything from like the cleaning products, pouring ammonia down the drains to knock out toxic energies from drain. It's a lot. But I did that, woke up New Year's Day and just chilled, you know, really did nothing. I think for New Year's Eve at 11:57 p.m., I went upstairs to my parents' house and we poured each of us a little glass of Prosecco. and we toasted to the new year, and I stayed up there till like about 12:30 and I left and I came back down to my house and went to sleep. So it was very old school, very different than what I'm used to, you know, partying it up. But I actually really enjoyed it. Maybe I'm washed. Perhaps I'm washed. But either way, she, as you both know,
Nushana, I like this.
And listen, I'm trying, okay? I don't know how long it's going to last. But we'll see. But, you know, as you know, we are both aware, 2020, last year, was trash, like absolute garbage, basura, if you will. But it's a new year, and we know that we have all that we need to manifest our goals and our blessings and our intentions. So walking into 2021, I think we can be rest assured that the end's not near. We survived. We made it. You know, Rona didn't take us out. You know, police brutality didn't take us out. We're here. Trump didn't take us out. We're here. So coming on the heels of a new year with a new and improved us, let's take some time to speak out our new intentions into the universe.
So Shauna, before we talk about intentions for 2021, I think we should make some space for what we're leaving behind from 2020. So what are you not bringing into 2021?
Trash man. Actually, I think it's so funny that I've been really intentional. It kind of started 2020. So, you know, we family. I'm going to let y'all in my business a little bit. 2019, I had a really tough time. And I'll say, you know, I basically got my heart broken. It was the little thug tear. And so I was, actually, no, that's a lie. Yeah, 2019, I had my heart broken. And then that year for Christmas, I went to Thailand, right? So that was my first solo international trip. I bought the ticket. I went, you know, first class. I was like, yeah, like this is me just gonna have a blast and doing me. My plan for 2020 was to go to South Africa, solo dolo. Yeah. That, and you know, Rona hit, that was a wash. But even despite that, and still working through heartbreak throughout, you know, 2020, I was really intentional on being present within myself, understanding why that relationship ended, understanding why it didn't serve me, as well as, you know, really just trying to get out of the habit of, I'm a person who I plan all the things, right? In my mind, it should all go according to plan. And when things deviate from that, it's very hard for me to let go of that plan. So for me, what I'm deciding to leave behind in 2020 are like, really just like fantasies of what should have happened, you know, and what should have been. I should be a mom right now. I should be, you know, a wife right now. All of these really things that put so much pressure on yourself. I think, especially as Black women, especially as single Black women in their 30s, we put so much pressure on ourselves, and it's just not, it doesn't do anything to serve us. And it takes us out of being present within ourselves. So I think for me, what I'm definitely leaving behind is, you know, holding on to things, again, that don't serve me. And that includes people, that includes things, that includes jobs and projects, that includes ideas of what should have been. Those no longer serve me. What should have been, it ain't happened. So let it go, you know, and move forward. And you can't move forward and you can't look to something better if you're still holding on to the past. So that's where I'm at right now with mine, you know. And so I'm going to do my crystals and being very intentional and, you know, no, we cannot meet up for dates. I'm sorry, sir. It is COVID outside. And just trying to work through that. What about you?
First of all, I love that. I mean, you know, you did it with your Shauna banter, like your ass, but I think it shows the ability to look inward. And I think that that is something to celebrate because a lot of people are scared to do that. And speaking of intentions, that's one of my intentions is to let go of fear. You know, since we're getting personal, all my life, I would say I've struggled with anxiety. I think growing up in America as a Black queer boy, I never felt like I fit in any groups. I had to suppress my sexuality. I'm a victim of violence because of my sexuality. I'm a victim of child molestation. And so a lot of those things can like create a lot of negative tension and energy in your body. And I didn't really have a word for it growing up. I would be like, why am I always so tense when I'm in certain situations? You know, why am I so scared to open up in relationships? And for the past couple of years, I've really been working at, you know, going to therapy, trying to figure out the source of that tension, the source of that fear. And I made a lot of, I would say, progress in letting go. And this year, I really want to radically step away from fear and step into self-love in ways that I've never done before. I think I've made steps in that. I think that really is a lifelong journey. I think that we all have our struggles and our challenges, but I learned a lot about myself. I got to know myself in ways I never had to because of COVID, because I was stuck in a small ass apartment in Brooklyn by myself, talking to myself, dancing with myself, looking myself in the mirror and giving myself affirmations. And so my intention for this year is to do more of that and really stepping to lean into who God created me to be, whatever that might be, regardless of what anyone else might say to me or thinks of me or does to me, that I'm in control of my destiny. So I look forward to a really great year.
Listen, two snaps for that. And for our listeners, if you're just listening to us, understand that you can see our faces, our lovely, beautiful faces. And you know, Jaren's amazingly clean skin. You can see us on YouTube. So you're going to see me, you know, two snaps. But you know, with all the highs and lows, well, let me ask you, what lessons do you think that you learned last year and what were your biggest takeaways?
I think because of COVID and, you know, thank God I didn't personally lose a loved one from COVID or racial violence or anything like that. I will say that because of all the death that surrounded us in 2020, I guess I relearned how futile, you know, this physical world that we live in truly is. Like life is not guaranteed. And I've been asking myself a lot, you know, how would you feel if you died today? Would you be happy with where your life ended up? You know, are you satisfied with the status of your relationships with others? You know, did you do what God intended for you to do on this earth? Or did you turn away? Did you run away from, you know, whatever the universe or God, whatever you believe in, had in store for you? Did you follow your heart? And I learned last year that I could be gone tomorrow and COVID's not over, you know, and anything can happen tomorrow. And it just made me really lean into the importance of life. And so when I wake up in the mornings, I try to intentionally tell myself, you know, thank God for the breath in my body. Like just the simple things, I think we kind of forget. We go through our day to day. And I think 2020 made us all kind of slow down and really see life for what it really was. And I think it made everyone appreciate the small things in life because we no longer had the big things to hold on to because couldn't go to the club. We can't go to church. We can't go to offices. We have nothing to distract us. Our phones and the internet, but there were very few things that distracted us. So I learned the importance of life.
Damn, this feels like a red table talk moment, don't it? I think for me, it was, so I'm going to make a reference to the Hamilton musical. I imagine death so much, it feels more like a memory, right? So I'm one of those like weird people who I think about death, honestly, like probably far more than I should. You know, like when I'm driving my car, I'm just like, you got to be extra careful. It's like, because God knows if I died, I was like, my mom would be okay, but my dad would be broken down. Like I think of stuff like that, right? So I'm always really careful. And with coronavirus, it just made it more real for me. So like when I was suffering from allergies and I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, so tell me here the Rona come to take me out, you know? And I'm like, oh, what do I do? And thinking, like you said, you know, did I live my life to the fullest? Do the people that I love, like, do they know how much I love them? Do they know how much I would, you know, go to bat for them? How much I would die for them? You know, it's one of those things. 2020 was such a shock to the system, but I think it was, ironically, it was something that was pretty necessary. You had to learn how to quiet the noise, right? And also one of my biggest takeaways was it forced me to have to be more present with my friends. And when I say that, I mean, I have not seen my line sisters or my, you know, closest homegirls, my best friends. I have not seen them in over a year now. This is unheard of. I was a person who I was on a plane minimum 3 times a month, minimum. Like, and I'm going to Atlanta. Oh, we're going to meet up in Cali. Oh, we're going to do, you know, 4/11 weekend. It's friendscation in New Orleans. Like that was me. And it was always being with my people, with my folks where, you know, I'm not a person who's going to call and text. I'm just not, right? I had to learn how to become that person. I had to learn how to become the person who was like, hey, just checking in, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Because I also don't want to be the person who's like the last to know something. So, you know, like, oh, if one of my like close friends is pregnant, how the hell I don't notice and I'm finding this out on Instagram, well, broad, you ain't call me, you know, one of those types of situations. So I think, yeah, one of my biggest takeaways was really quiet the noise, be present and in the moment. I cannot wait to finally be able to be around my friends. And like, I don't even really talk so much about like family because I'm like, really just my mom and my dad and like my brother isn't like Rona Island, fine. But, you know, especially with my friends, because they are my community, they are my family, you know, they're my safe space. And so being more intentional with them, there are some who I talk to more than others. And, but even the ones who I don't talk to that much, low key, I'm not one of those mushy ass people. So, you know, there are several of my friends who can account for a random long paragraph message from me to them saying something like, you know, I just want you to know how much I love you, how much I appreciate you, how, you know, dope you are, how amazing you are, how you have given me strength in some of my darkest moments and darkest times. And I want to thank you and just let you know that I love you. That's been cool. It's very different. I've had some of my friends respond like, are you dying? Like, what's going on? You know, what's going on? Because it's not me, but, you know, it's going to have to be me, you know, 2021 and beyond. And
off, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I'm excited for it. You know, I'm trying to quell my anxieties, but I have decided that since my 33rd birthday was a wash last year, that I'm definitely celebrating my 34th. But it's going to be, I have to get into like the mindset of, okay, are we driving to a location, which I would prefer? You know, is everybody COVID tested? We ain't going nowhere. We ordering food or we're buying food and the food will be prepared in the house. Ain't nobody coming around. You know, I'm thinking of all of these things and I don't know. I'm just really excited for it.
Awesome. I love that. I also want to talk about, I know this is really important to you. You don't like toxicity around you. How do you plan to protect your peace in 2021?
Listen, the block button has been so amazing. And I mean that from like, again, like on social media, on my phone, you know, like kind of what I spoke about earlier of letting go of things that like should have been. And that includes, you know, romantic relationships as well as friendships and everything else. And I'm like, you know what? If I've gone this long without speaking to you, if I've gone this long without interacting with you, we're good. We don't need to keep it going. So because I'm also a little petty, I've never been a person who like outright blocks people, mainly because I'm just like, no, because when you get your ish together and you come apologizing, I want to make sure I'm able to receive that apology, you know, physically, not even mentally or emotionally receive it, but I'm going to make sure I can see it and I can hold that apology. And then if you ever try to play me, I'm going to scroll through this text thread and we're going to talk about what you discussed on September 19, 1995 or something. Like, I'm going to do that. I have been slowly but surely doing that, like deleting text messages. And because what I realized is I'm holding on to those things for really petty reasons, which fine, whatever. But again, it doesn't serve me, right? So what do I get out of knowing like, no, this is the day in which you effed up. And then when I was like, oh, our relationship will never be the same. Well, if our relationship is never going to be the same, then we don't need to keep the relationship going, right? So I've been deleting text threads and blocking people that need to be blocked on Twitter. You would be so proud of me, Jaren. I have not engaged in a single Twitter argument in a whole 2 weeks. Listen, Twitter, not Instagram. I left people alone, okay? There was one. It was about 2 weeks ago, but it was for a good reason. Yeah, so really just like there are certain things or comments, for instance, that you'll see and you're just like, and I'll type like a whole paragraph about it and then I'll stop myself and go, is this even worth inviting this energy into my space right now? And then I hit that quick delete and I just close it out, or I'll close my laptop, or I'll put down my phone. I'm not dealing with it. I have no time. I have no energy. And especially for strangers, who the hell are you? I don't care what you have to say. I don't really care. So yeah. What about you, Jared?
I love that. That's a really good exercise. Like, write it, get it out your body. Don't cause further damage by sending it. Just delete it. You know, I think for me, keeping peace for me is leaning in and being honest. I realize that we are going to experience negative encounters, that things are going to trigger us and we can't control those things. But I found that whenever I try to ignore the fact that something upsets me, the more it upsets me. Mm-hmm. But if I lean into it and I acknowledge it hurts me or it bothers me and I figure out why, I'm able to make peace with it because I acknowledged it and I let it go. And I think that's the practice that works best for me. And it's why I'm able to kind of keep my zen. You know, I kind of have that, I guess, reputation for letting things go or being light. But I wasn't always like this. I'm from Brooklyn. So anything about Brooklyn, you learn to fight. You have to always be on guard. My freshman year in Morehouse, everyone thought that I was mean because I did not smile. I did not talk to a lot of people. Some of that was because I'm also a very shy person, but also because you're kind of reared to not trust people. So I really want to continue this process of leaning into what I actually feel. That's the best way to keep your peace.
Yes. And born and raised in Brooklyn, moved to the Bronx when I was a preteen. So I know, trust, I get it. But so let's, as we said, we were going to make the space, right? So let's make the space to set intentions right now for our New Year goals and our resolutions. So what do you think you're trying to set in motion this year?
You know, there's two things. One of them I put on Instagram the other week, and that is to step into my own power. I think that much to my point about fear, I think many of us, we all have innate gifts and talents and abilities. And sometimes fear stops us from stepping into that power, that power that lies within us. And so I am choosing to radically step away from fear and step into my personal power, whatever that might be. Understanding that because I am created by God and because He is the source or she is the source, then there's nothing to fear. That if God is all powerful, if God is all knowing, then I too am powerful. I am godlike. And there's power in that understanding. And I've kind of always, you know, I think throughout your life, if you grew up in the church or if you have other belief practices, it's kind of innate in those belief systems. But I think it takes a long time. It takes a lived experience for you to finally get to that space where you can say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to step into my power. And I think I'm ready. So that's something that I'm really going to set intention with. Another thing is similar to you. Well, I don't know if this is your intention for this year, but love. I want love in my life. I think I've been single now for 2 years. I was cohabitating with an older man who was about 20 years older than me. And listen, I was shacking up, y'all. I was just
singing daddy.
You could tell me that I wasn't about to get married and have kids. And things came tumbling down because I realized there was a lot of self-work that I had not done. And I was using a relationship to mask the fact that, you know, I wasn't really truly happy or in love with myself. And I really had to learn through that lived experience that you honestly, like we hear it all the time, you can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. But until you actually live it and experience it, do you actually get it? And so I got it. And so I moved out. I had never lived alone. I always had roommates. I always lived with my parents, a significant other. And I lived alone for 2 years or almost 2 years. And I've been single. And so I really had to get to know myself all over again. And I think I'm ready. I'm not saying that I'll get married this year, but I'm open to dating and finding love in a healthy way this time. And so I'm trying to manifest love in my life. You know, if he's listening right now, I'm ready for you. But what about you?
You know what's so funny is mine is actually two parts too. And the first one is actually what you said. I think I have finally, you know, ever since my failed situation, you know, I've dated, I've shaboing boinged, you know, I've done my thing, whatever, but never really entering into those situations with anything more in mind, right? Like I was very on my Meg Thee Stallion, I'm a savage, right? Like we done did the do, sir, why are you still here? You know, like very, very cold, very, you know, F these dudes, I don't need this, you know, got an icebox where my heart used to be. Seriously, dead ass. Like that's where I was. And I think I'm finally in a place where I'm ready for love and not because I think that's what I should be, you know, having, if that makes sense. Like I'm ready for it, not just because that's what, you know, I'm hearing in my ear from, you know, my grandmother who's worried about my uterus and my eggs, you know. I'm ready for it because I am seeing and witnessing so many examples of like beautiful love, particularly Black love, which is, you know, that's the goal, you know, that has been so amazing, right? So because of COVID, there's so many people who were unable to get married, right? Or the traditional ways of getting married. I watched my line sister, I'm going to say some names and y'all better be listening. You know, like my line sister Topaz and her husband Jared. And it's so, she was supposed to get married. We were supposed to be in Jamaica for 20 weekend. We were supposed to be there for her wedding and, you know, COVID and things had to shift and change. And she was able to get married, like her, just her, Jared and her mom. And then her mom, you know, unfortunately passed away, but she has her husband who has been there with her, you know, to help her through that grief. I watch our partners at Creative Summer. Shout out to Dwanisha and Mikkel. Like they are such a beautiful Black love couple who are so dope and supportive of each other. You know, one of our former coworkers, Demetria, she got married. It's such a gorgeous, like small little intimate situation. Being around my mom and my dad all the time now and watching like their 35 plus year manifestation of love has been so beautiful. And I'm like, this is what I want. And being very intentional on, you know, if I meet somebody, hey, sir, Are you in therapy? If you are not, I suggest you get into therapy because I will not be dealing with you otherwise, right? Like, I'm learning how to communicate. I'm also learning how to be vulnerable and not be afraid of being vulnerable. That is something that's really hard for me. Like, I'm a huge, if you ask any of my exes, they'll tell you I'm a huge softy, right? But once that wall is up, once I've decided I'm gonna be cold, it's there. And what I recognize, and thanks to my therapist, shout out to her, what I recognize is most of that is not because I'm just, you know, being bitchy. Like, it has nothing to do with it. Or I'm mad. It's because I'm scared to show someone else, you know, hey, this thing hurts me. This thing gives me fear. This thing gives me anxiety. This thing bothers me. So being able to verbalize that and finding and being intentional on not necessarily finding, but allowing love to come to me. I don't want to look for it. I have no time to look for it, but I'm welcome to it coming to me. I think the other thing for me has been, and Jaren, you know, we've kind of talked about this, and I know our Natasha S. Alford, you know, she and I have spoken about this a lot too. I have a lot of opinions, as you all know. I have a very interesting personality, as you all know, but I have been very intentional on, like, it's funny, I'm very transparent, but I'm also very private, low-key secretive, right? So it, you know how long it took for Natasha to, like, it was like pulling teeth to make me create a public Instagram profile, for instance, right? Like, I was terrified of that. I refused to give y'all my Twitter @. Like, I refused for months to give that to y'all, even though I had a public account anyway. But it was just like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And understanding that that is me limiting myself and that is me dimming my light, right? And this is going to sound so arrogant, and I know it is, but whatever. I'm dope as hell. Like, and I need to be able to express that, how dope I am, you know what I mean? And being able to pull up other people into my dopeness. Like, that's all I want to do. And so one of the things that I want to set my intention for this year is to be more open to, you know, being out in the public, not necessarily like physically, because again, Rona, but, you know, being out in the public is specifically for, you know, social and things of that nature. Get my blue check, perhaps, you know, we'll see what happens. That's a goal. Maybe, you know, by the end of 2021, I'm gonna get that blue check. We'll see what happens. I don't necessarily want to be an influencer. That's not my steez, but, you know, to at least like open myself up to that. And I realized that the reason why I was so closed off to it is because once you open yourself up, you do understand that that opens you up to things like criticism, right? So we've seen a lot of celebrities having a problem with that. Cardi B, you know, like, if you're opening yourself up, you have to be willing to have that kind of thrown at you as well. It all depends on what you're going to listen to. And I've decided that, I mean, everybody's going to talk ish one way or another, but I'm going to keep it moving.
I love that. And also, looking ahead, if you could make some predictions, mm-hmm. What do you think lies ahead for 2021?
I hope nothing like 2020. The only thing good out of 2020 was that election. I would say for 2021, I really and truly hope that there are changes in terms of the direction of this country. You know, that's been something that's been very anxiety inducing, you know, watching our democracy be eroded. I want to see accountability for those who are contributing to that erosion. That better happen. I want to see more diversity. I want to see more understanding and empathy from white people, if that makes sense. Because it's so funny. I think of what, say, for instance, like what the reaction to Black Lives Matter was for 2016 to what it is now, and how it's slowly, you know, it's becoming a thing that is like, no, it makes sense to some white people. And then there are others who are like, well, y'all are Antifa and, you know, looting and rioting and blah, blah, and a whole bunch of other, you know, tone deaf nonsense. But then I also, you know, I remember, hell, that's what they did to MLK, remember? Like, well, I don't remember because I wasn't around, but from history books, you know, that's what they did to MLK. MLK was a radical. MLK was a communist. MLK, you know, Martin Luther King was the devil and all of these other things. And then he dies, and now all of a sudden, here goes these racist white people spitting MLK quotes to me. Don't whitewash my stuff, right? No, no, no. But I at least want you to understand where we're coming from and why we say the things that we say. And also, just white people get a clue. I would like to see that in 2021. That would be fun, you know. But what about you, Jaren?
That would be great. I would love for white people to get it together. Because honestly, a lot of the issues that we have in America are connected to white supremacy. And we just have to acknowledge that. And I think, you know, we say it till we're blue in the face if black people can't really get blue in the face. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of to echo kind of what you were saying, I foresee this year being a year of restoration. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, it was deadly. It was toxic. It was everything we could possibly imagine that is negative happened last year. And I really hope that with a vaccine and someday, hopefully this year, the end of COVID-19, and with a new president who, even though he's a Democrat, he's not that liberal. He's kind of a moderate. He's a progressive in many ways. And I think that that's important because it means that he has the ability to restore the country in a way where some Republicans might be more open-minded. Mm. These white working class, lower class, white people who voted for Obama, but for whatever reason voted for Trump, start to open up their ears to Biden. Because I realized that through Trump's presidency, people tend to, while it seems like the country is very divided right now, there's power in leadership. When Trump said what he has often said, inciting violence and hatred, people followed that. And we mm-hmm. saw that. We saw it everywhere. And I think that when you have a new person in leadership on TV speaking to the American people every week or almost every day, you know, saying we need to care about each other, we need to address racial inequities, hopefully it might not touch the hearts and minds of every American, but it starts to shift us back to the center. And so I pray that we have more restoration in 2021. And also, just a shameless plug, I want to predict that the GRIO is going to continue to win. You know, we just hired Ryan as our White House correspondent.
Shout out to my soror. Yes,
shout out to Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And yeah, I'm really excited to have April on the team. She's such a joy to have so far. And there are really big things happening. You just have to salute Byron Allen for all the investment and belief that he has in the GRIO. And just shout out to our amazing team, because I'm just so impressed by the level of talent and diversity that we have on the GRIO. Women, men, gay, straight, all different ages, all different shapes and shades, and in some ways, different belief systems. I think it's beautiful to have diversity. And I want to see, even that is a prediction for this year, that we embrace diversity in a way that we've never embraced in America before. I think it's inevitable. I think that's why we're seeing white people act the fool, because they mm-hmm. see the shift that's about to happen. But I'm really optimistic about 2021. I know that we're going to continue to see bad things happen. It's just a part of life. But we really cannot understate how important it is that Trump is leaving office. I think that's the first big step to a year of complete change and restoration. Also, speaking of 21, you know, no matter what lies ahead for 2021, it's important that we acknowledge that we have the power to change the course of our lives. And it really just starts with setting your intentions, sticking to those intentions, and leaving the rest up to the universe or God or whatever you believe in.
We want to remind our listeners to support your local Black businesses and donate to your local organizations and religious institutions. The business that we will highlight this week is She Blazin', a cannabis-centric lifestyle community and brand created to educate, empower, and embrace women through cannabis. Be sure to shop She Blazin' for their array of canna candles and smudge sticks. You can find them at She Is Blazin', that's She, S-H-E, is Blazing, BLAZING.com. All products are legal in the 50 states, but you must be 18 years or older. So you youngins, don't think you're about to get your can on. That's a wrap. The GRIO has published a list of 50 plus Black businesses to support during the coronavirus pandemic. If you'd like your business to be featured, email us at info@thegrio.com. That's GRIO.com.
Thank you for listening to Dear Culture. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast, and share it with everyone you know.
And please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments. We love those, to podcast@thegrio.com. The Dear Culture podcast is brought to you by The GRIO and executive produced by Blue Talusma and co-produced by Sunda Sasan, Lana Adams, and Kevin Y. Brown.